Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Barking Boys podcast. We have some fantastic topics today.
Fantastic. some fantastic men.
men, yes.
Yeah, we're talking about missing people and someone that created a computer software.
Yes.
Anyways. He's also missing in our hearts.
So, Hard Hat has the first topic. Hard Hat, take it away. Okay, thank you. So y'all boys know about that I am a big Dallas Cowboys fan, right? Okay, so I am a big Dallas Cowboys fan. In 1993, they were playing the Cowboys were playing in the Super Bowl versus the Buffalo Bills. Okay, it was January 31st, 1993. Okay, and there happened to be someone else that happened to be watching said game. Or wanted to watch said game at the same time. His name was David Lewis. And David Lewis was a lawyer, previous judge, and back to lawyer again, out of a town called Amarillo, up in the upper quadrant of Texas. And this man went missing. And his body wasn't discovered until 11 years later in Washington State. Which I don't know if you'll know this. This is a little bit farther away from Texas. Quite a distance away from Texas. And I'm going to describe the actions that has happened. Starting with the 2 days beforehand. Starting about, was it the 29th? I believe. Okay, so January 29th, 1993. This man, David Lewis, he left his office sick, and was like, hey, you know, I'm gonna go home and whatever rest. Well, he turns out he didn't really go home. He went and filled his car up full of gas. Later that night, he went to the home college, Amarillo College, where he teached government. He teached that night's late class. That Saturday after, that was the Friday, the Saturday, the 30th, his wife, and their daughter wanted to go out to Dallas to have a shopping spree. So he sent his daughter and his wife out because he wanted to stay and watch the Super Bowl at home. And the big thing was he wanted to record it on his VCR. His VCR at the time did not have the capability to be able to set a time and record. So he was going to manually set the time and record the game. So, you know, his wife and his daughter fly out to Dallas, and he was supposed to sit and watch the Cowboys game. What ended up happening was David drove his car down to the local courthouse, Potter County Courthouse, and posted his car, parked his car in front of Potter County Courthouse, in which he took a picture. This is that Sunday morning, by the way. This is Super Bowl Sunday. This is the Sunday morning. He took a picture of his car in front of Potter County Courthouse, in which a sheriff happened to be walking out the courthouse and saw the red, it was a red Ford Escape, or Explorer. I don't remember. Both of them are the same thing. It don't matter. But anyways, saw the car out front. Sheriff saw him taking a picture of it and got in the car, drove home. Okay? And neighbors saw his car back at the house around about 5 o'clock-ish. And so it's theorized that he stayed home and set the recording for the Cowboys game and watched part of the Cowboys game. Well, his wife and daughter get home anywhere between the time of 8 and 10 o'clock, and they find that the game is still on, it is still being recorded by the VCR, but David is nowhere to be found. His car is not in the driveway, he's not there, and there are 2 freshly fixed turkey sandwiches in the refrigerator. So his wife is like, oh, you know, he went over to a friend's house, he's going to, you know, he'll show up back, you know. Turns out he did not show up the next day. that Monday. He did not show up, so she went to the police and was like, hey, my husband's missing, and him being a older gentleman, I believe he was in his 40s, early 50s at the time, the police were like, well, we can't really establish a missing persons until it's 20 or 24 hours past the time of him being established as missing. So she was like, okay, well, maybe he got, you know, hungover, drunk, whatever, or maybe he even went to work that Monday. So later in the day, she calls his office and was like, hey, have you seen my husband? And they were like, no, he did not come in today. But his car is here. His car was at the office, but he was not. So she's like, okay, that's really weird. So she contacts the police again, and they are able to establish a missing persons, from which they were able to do a little bit of checking into this man. Come to find out that he had gone to his father a couple days before and told him, there are people coming trying to kill me. They are coming for me, they're coming for my life, and he was afraid. Which is really weird, because being a judge 10 years earlier or so, he was kind of used to having death threats. Just being a judge, you know, you're going to get that. And they thought it was really weird that he was really particular now about it. Turns out that about a week after this happened, about a week later, he was supposed to go on trial in Dallas for a $3 million lawsuit deal. Which at the time, that's big money. And he was supposed to stand trial on some lawyer stuff, just nothing, not like a murder case or anything, just, you know, paper stuff. But about the same time as this, the Monday night, in Washington State, there was a couple driving down the road, and they passed a man who was wearing full army fatigues and combat boots in the middle of the night, walking down a dark highway. Okay? And they said that he was walking down the middle of this dark highway. They really couldn't see him, so they stopped and were gonna turn around and help this man that was, you know, randomly in the middle of the road. Right as they were turning around, a Chevy Camaro sped off. Just took off down the road. Well, it turns out that Chevy Camaro had run into that man and did him in. And so, you know, of course, police was called, whatever. This man was not wearing glasses at the time. I just want you to know that another predominant fact about David is he had to wear glasses at all times so that way he could see. But this runs into a connection later. David... they finally got into David's, like, bank account and stuff. On that Monday, it was found that a cab driver had driven a man that fit David's description, who was very frantic, very panicked, wanting to go to Dallas Airport from a hotel, who paid solely in cash and stuff, to Dallas Airport. They later found, tickets from Amarillo to Dallas, from Dallas to LA, and then there was another ticket from Dallas back to Amarillo. So it was a return flight from Dallas to Amarillo. So they really had no leads on where this guy was. It was, they had thought, oh man, this man just abandoned his family, and his wife is really hard on, you know, hey, he would never leave his family and whatnot. They could never. They did 11-month investigation on this man, and they could not find him at all. They could not find where he went. The best lead that they had was another person in the Amarillo airport had found him running through the airport to the Southwest Airlines side with no baggage, no nothing, just running through the airport to get on a plane. That was the last known sighting of David other than the cab driver that supposedly saw him in Dallas. It was also really weird because whenever they investigated his car, they found his wallet, they found his checkbook, they found his ID, his wedding ring and I believe his watch. And so that was the last known sighting of David. They hadn't seen him. They couldn't find him. 11 years goes by, and there's a TV show that shows missing persons and, you know, people that are classified as like Jane Doe or John Doe's and stuff. And an ex investigator happened to be watching the TV show and was like, the TV show was about the mysterious man in Washington. And he was like, hey, wait a minute. That guy kind of looks like the guy investigated in Amarillo, David Lewis. But he's not wearing his glasses. So he dug into it a little bit and found that the man had his glasses on him, but he was not wearing them at the time. And he sent in to Amarillo Police Department and was like, here, you need to do like a DNA scan on this man from Washington. Turns out it was David Lewis. He had been killed a day after he had gone missing in Washington State. And they really could not figure out how he got there, why he was there, or anything. It's all a bunch of like, it's just kind of like a mystery at this point on why he ended up there. The leading theories are that the first one being he just had a mental break. The man just, he had so much stress on him from both the court cases, being an attorney, and everything else that he just mentally broke, and he just got out. He just escaped, did whatever he could to get away. The other thing is that he had him going to his dad with telling him, hey, there's people threatening my life, is that something either with a prior court case from whenever he was a judge or with the new arriving court case with the $3 million that he was threatened and he panicked, didn't know what to do, and so he wanted to get everything and anything away from his family, and so he left. He made it look like that. He made it look like he just left. And so nothing would come back on his family, on his daughter, on his wife. And that he just left. Now at the time, in the 90s, this is pre-9/11, so you could go and buy a airplane ticket without an ID. You could just give him a name. And so that's the leading theory is that he went to the airport, bought a ticket, and flew out to Washington State. They still don't know why he went to Washington State or why he was in the middle of the road. But that that he just used an alias to cover up how he got there. It's also a theory that the plane tickets that were bought under David Lewis weren't that David Lewis, that they were another David Lewis in Texas, and so they couldn't really connect the plane ticket spot. And so this man just kind of like dipped out, and there is no rhyme or reason to why he was wearing army fatigues and walking down the middle of the road. There was no rent car or any type of vehicle that would have gotten him into the middle of this highway. That's really it. There's just kind of, why did this man just one night just decide to kind of disappear?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he just up and went missing, and no one can really explain it. His wife can't explain it. No one around him can really explain it, because everyone that knew him, he was a nice, happy, kind man that would help out everybody around him. He was a good lawyer, a good judge, even though he didn't win his re-election, but still, it was just really weird for him to just up and run like that.
My theory is mental illness. That's my money on it.
Yeah,
I understand stress and pressure, right? Like, if he was like good in all these domains, like, I'm not saying an outlet is something that's necessary for like the human condition, but boy, does it help, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
And if this guy was just burning on fucking fumes for too long, he might have just cracked.
He just finally broke. Well, I mean, it could have been, you know, you still have a lot of stress being a county judge.
Well, I mean, you're essentially a public figure, right? There's always people are going to be like, oh, fuck you. You put me or my fucking homie or my wife or husband or whatever in jail. You're a piece of shit, right?
They said as a judge that it wasn't uncommon for him to get death threats.
Yeah.
But that he had kind of grown accustomed to having death threats, but that it was really weird that he had come out, you know, a couple days prior to him going missing and was like, hey, somebody's like threatening my life. And so there's also a theory that something to do with that court case in Dallas that he was supposed to attend, that someone put the hit out on him. Either that or they got rid of him. Or he ran from them and they caught up with him.
Now, I don't want to just say, like, that can't happen, right? Like, obviously bad people do bad things sometimes. But Occam's razor, you know, I don't know.
That one's the, like, furthest theory from what I, you know, I do believe the man had a mental break. And the whole reason, like, he wasn't wearing his glasses while he was walking down the middle of the road is, like, his mind was just so frazzled that he might not have even known that he had his glasses on him. Or something of that nature. There's also a theory on why he had those clothes that he had. Is probably that he just paid cash. And just, you know, kind of bought them under the table. And no one really paid any attention. Another thing is he was trying to commit the unalive in the middle of the road. And so he was hoping somebody would run him over. Which is dark. I guess let's say that is the theory, I guess he took the weight off of him committing the unalive because they don't know what happened to him for 10 to 11 years. And they still don't know that it, you know, if it was, you know, his doing or someone else's. It's just kind of crazy that, you know, one day you go from a fun, happy lawyer that was excited for your favorite team to play in the Super Bowl and wanted to record it and whatnot, and just not even 24 hours later, you know, being dead in another state.
It's crazy, man.
And it's absolutely wild.
God, just fucking disappearing. That's horrifying to me.
Yeah, it's just weird. Especially, like, you know, one thing that I had whenever it was said that he had bought a return flight from Dallas back to Amarillo is that he had a change of heart for a minute and that he was going to go back home. But that didn't end up happening. So it's just really weird. They found his car. They still don't know how he got to the airport, whether he, you know, bought a taxi or whatever, you know, rented a car, drove there. They don't know. Of course, at the time, it was really hard to track things because they didn't really track things. I mean, it's just, especially in the time that we live in, it's crazy to me that a man could just walk into an airport, use an alias, and buy a ticket and just fly wherever and no one can track him. You know, nowadays, you go into an airport, you have to give your ID, you have to give all of this stuff, and, you know, everyone could track, you know, where I flew, you know, and stuff like that. They could be like, oh, well, he flew here, he checked in here, he went there, you know. It's just such a different time, and it's just kind of crazy how easily you were able to escape. So.
Fuck. It's one of those, like, damn, man, people just kind of go missing. It could just as easily be us, right? Or you or whoever.
It reminds me a lot of the 411 cases, where just, you know, people just go missing. Oh, just disappear.
Yeah. No.
I mean, they did find him, but it's just the whole information in between them is just crazy to me.
An erratic behavior.
Yeah, the erratic break out of nowhere, because they said he was in good health whenever his wife left. So.
That's so weird to me. But speaking of erratic behavior fleeing from things, I'm going to talk about John McAfee for a little bit.
Oh,
The absolute
that guy. There's no question. He went fucking insane.
What a guy. For those of you who don't know, the man, the myth, the legend, John McAfee.
Of fucking McAfee antivirus. Yeah,
of McAfee antivirus fucking that entire enterprise, right? Homie created this antivirus software when computers were really fucking new, back in like the 80s and 90s. And he basically, you know, it was a cure for a lot of these viruses that are starting to pop up around the time for like, get this on your computer and you can take care of it. He banked out on that, was a fucking multimillionaire, about $150 million, I think is what was paid. And he basically was at retirement age by the time he finished that venture with McAfee, Enterprises. I guess you can call it. But that's not really how he goes insane. So he comes into this incredible amount of money. And from there, there were some issues with McAfee later on down the line, and there were some potential lawsuits going on because involving even running the business, there were rumors, and I think some of them being later on being told to be true, about first, employees sleeping there and living in this office to make sure that they appease John McAfee and make sure, you know, his goals are met, as well as there being sex parties and sex goals within the offices to get. They had little point systems for saying that, they described as people would come in the mornings and clean off desks and tables of certain areas to make sure that it's all clean for the next day from people using. But it was a constant ongoing thing of John McAfee being so unhinged, being like, yeah, we're down with this behavior. We'll allow this, right? He ended up getting in trouble with that. And there was also, later on, there was a fucking crypto bank that fucking denounced him and McAfee Enterprises. Because of some tweets that he did, which were hilarious. But to avoid all this scrutiny, at least in my opinion, he says it's because he feels like he wants to take some time away and wants to enjoy his retirement. I think it's more so because he wants to avoid scrutiny and potential lawsuits. He goes down to Belize, right? Has multi-million dollars, buys a beachfront property, and then meets a woman who's Allison, I think it's Adenosio, I hope I don't butcher that name too badly, who was a microbiologist from Harvard trying to find out what plants could be beneficial in blocking and treating infections in humans. Well, McAfee took that idea and said, you know, I am a businessman, I will go with you on this venture and we could really make some change, right? Because that could change the pharmaceutical industry for years to come. So they went down, got to business in Belize, and they started trying to see what they could, what breakthroughs they could find to change the pharmaceutical industry. But throughout this time,
looking to strike it rich, mind you.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And by the way, he was very terrible with his money. Very, very, very not terrible. Rather, that's not the correct word. He would liquidate assets to buying a fucking incredible copious amount of drugs.
As you should.
Completely just off the wall with his spending and with his behavior, which only worsened in Belize. This went from him trying to find the next big thing, finding a gold rush in this pharmaceutical industry, which became paranoia after a while. And turned into somewhat of a police state with the surrounding area that he was living in.
I don't think we're getting justice done here. He had a fucking drug-riddled compound full of like pharmaceutical researchers,
as well as active making and drugs. Former gang members and police officers who were bodyguarding.
He had everybody
this
on the payroll. He basically, like, fucked with, like, the federal government to a point they couldn't really do anything because he had the local people on his side.
Yes, saying
and, and all the while like, posting online. I think that's my favorite part, is this dude yes. had a very active internet presence. He was, like, super huge into Bitcoin. He fucking did, like, interviews on, like, stupid-ass podcasts and shit. Oh,
the Joe Rogan Show. Oh, I gotta see if I can find one of the tweets that he did. It made me laugh so hard, dude.
Didn't he also... Wasn't he, like, a weapon... Didn't he bring weapons in illegally, too?
100%.
Oh, yeah, no, he did, but he's not going to say that, right? He's like, I'm not a gun fanatic. I'm a fanatic in, you know, survival, is how is, paraphrasing is how he put it. But,
that man was bringing in every AK-47.
He was very into guns, very into drugs. He also was very... he delved into prostitution a lot in... Oh, my God. He was very vocal and very active, as well as on the internet and in person with these prostitutes that he would find in this. I think there was a name for one of the bars that he would frequent. I cannot remember the name of it, but he also was taking performance enhancing drugs while in this compound of his and doing these acts. I think it was DMT. It wasn't DMT, rather. It was DMTA, or it was
everything. I really think he's on bath salts. He did like ayahuasca. He did that. Yeah, he did all of it.
A fuckload of drugs.
MDPV.
MDPV. That's what it was. I was like, yeah, it's fucking. So he described that as, you know, one of the best fucking highs you could have, basically. And he said he could go for days. You know, XYZ, and it's fucking, you are guaranteed sore genitals the next day from taking this, I think is how he put it, from all the sex that you would
have. I have found my single greatest sentence. In December 2018, he tweeted that he had 47 genetic children. His no third wife described shot. Him in a Father's Day message as father of many, loved by few.
God fucking damn. But, so, as well as his time in there with the drugs and the guns and the compound with prostitution, he got super paranoid. He started to get into some violent acts and threats involving, let me see if I can find his name. I wrote it down. His name, I think it was Burger, was his, like, street name or something like that. But he was, he went down to confront this dude because apparently this other person had been firing gunshots around the house of one of his lady friends. And so he's like, this is not going to fly, right? So he went down there and tried to find this dude to confront him because he brought a gun with him as well.
Of course he did.
Because, of course. He couldn't find the dude, and so he found his family and told him, hey, this guy is... I'm going to fuck this guy up, and I'm threatening his life because, you know, he... give me the gun that he used to try and shoot around my fucking girl's house, because that's not cool. And you know, I'm gonna fucking kill this dude, right? And made a death threat toward this man, as well as one of his homies at the time was a massive gang member in the area, who John McAfee was very big on power. And on keeping people in his pocket, and very charismatic, because of course he is, he's in the fucking tech industry, right? And so he had these people of higher status all around him. That's how he got away with a lot of things, from the federal government to that local government, just having people in his pocket and having connections, right? He eventually got into the point where there is a alleged, his involvement allegedly in murder. Which I cannot remember if that was proven or not. I don't. As far as I know, it was not proven.
No, but he ran like a madman when they accused him of it.
He definitely did it, right? But there's no like proof, right? In my opinion,
if I had to put any money on it,
if I'm a betting man, there's no shot that he's like, oh, I have no idea. Like, but so there was a man.
This is crazy. We got to bounce for no reason. We're gonna drop our whole life and move. Not for any real reason, but you know.
I have a good quote after, you know, after that. They the prime Bizel's prime minister Dean Barrow called him extremely paranoid, even bonkers.
Yes. Oh, dude, insane. He is actually psychotic, and it's great. So there was a man named Greg Fall, right? this is the whole this is the issue. He was, I remember, right, he was vacationing down in Belize while he was a neighbor to John McAfee. John McAfee, as well as this, you know, whole shit show going on in the compound, also had dogs all around this area, local dogs, and they would pester and, you know, make a lot of noise and all that stuff. Well, Greg Fall was not a big fan of that. He complained to McAfee and said, if you don't get your fucking dogs figured out, I'm going to kill them. I think it was by poisoning them, is how he put it.
We can't have that. The Barking Boys do not stand
for... No, they do not stand for any... We do not stand for any of this. But John was like, okay, like, Ben. Like,
some of the cool things he did.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he did some fun shit, dude. He fucking started one of the biggest antiviral fucking softwares in the world. But, so he's like, John McAfee's like, bet, you're not doing that. Well, the dogs eventually did get poisoned. We don't know, but I'm betting that it was fucking the homie Greg. And the next day, or I think it was the next day, if not the next 2 days, Greg Fall was found in a pool of his own blood, shot in the head. So it's suspicious, saying that, you know, these guys, they made it public, by the way, that they had some issues. It was known all locally around the area that these guys did not like each other at all, right? It's very odd that he made a threat on his dogs, and the threat was followed through with, and then the man ends up dead a few days later. Although John McAfee has zero implications in any of this, I'm sure. Eventually, the police ended up coming to his door, and were like, hey, what the fuck? They found him buried in the sand with a cardboard box, a cardboard box covered over his head, because they thought that the federales were coming to get him.
Wait, they found John buried?
He buried himself in the sand, neck deep, and had a cardboard box over his head to, I assume, hide? He was probably fucked out of his mind.
Maybe like Metal Gear Solid, right?
Yeah. There's gotta be.
Find me here.
But,
the fuck?
He was very, you know, oh, we can't, you know, I don't know anything, blah, blah, blah. Eventually, he fucked around and found out, because he was, he wanted an internet presence. He went on, I think it was Vice News, to do another one of his fucking God knows how many interviews. Vice News took him around. They were asking about questions about this stuff, and Interpol found him and put him away and tried to bring him back to his fucking Belize to prosecute him. And he faked a heart attack to buy his lawyer enough time to bring him back to the United States. So he could go back to the United States, right? It worked, and he went to Florida instead of going back to Belize, where he would have been railed, because they didn't have whole jurisdiction in the United States, even though he apparently definitely did not do it. It's just very odd that he fled the fucking country whenever all the allegations were coming up. As well as this, his girlfriend at the time, the one that we mentioned earlier, Allison, she left whenever this was going on, before he went to Interpol and brought back to Florida. There was apparently sexual assault involved, at least according to her side, and she was like, hey, he's going fucking nuts and super paranoid, so I'm gonna book it and bail and go back to the United States, right? So she left him. He says that she's a liar. She says he's a liar. So that was not... that didn't shake out well for them. After all of that happened and he was back in Florida, he was not charged with anything. Was not caught of... There was no evidence. Was not caught of anything. eventually, he... by the way, he was on the Moist Critical podcast as well.
He
was on General Sam's too. That's where he introduced to his saga. What a guy.
He also apparently in 20
He died at the right time, if not a little too late. Like, you know, we always say, like, with these kind of people, he died too young. This was not the case. He made it way too far.
Yeah.
He also ran for president, was close. He could have won. He could have won. Didn't end up happening. But, you know, that, but and he also had, became a very, he became a symbol of, what is the word I'm looking for?
Libertarian.
Libertarian. That's what it is. Yeah, he became a symbol for libertarians everywhere.
If I'm right, he didn't run libertarian until his second run, right? Oh, hold on. Yeah, a 2016 presidential campaign. He ran for president in 2016, which, if anyone doesn't know, it's the campaign against Hillary and Donald Trump. He was a candidate of the newly formed political party called the Cyber Party. And that is where he first ran for president.
Oh, and also he died in 2020 because of an apparent suicide in a Spanish prison. So that is where it was 2020. So that was where the legend of John McAfee died.
So in 2020 he did run as a libertarian, which is kind of crazy. McAfee tweeted on June 3rd, 2018, that he would run for president again in 2020, either as a libertarian party or a separate party. But he chose to run for libertarian, which is crazy. He died in a prison, right? Yeah.
Yes. Oh, it was 2021, and he was about to be extradited back to the United States for more charges. And he
tax evasion charges.
Yeah, and he apparently committed suicide. There was also, I was watching a clip with him in it saying that when he's talking about, you know, some of his stuff in his life, saying, you know, it's probably, there was a point whenever he was talking about he had his prostitute do his taxes for him while he was banging his accountant or something like that. And I'm like, what the fuck? What kind of fucking man? Fuck? It's just the most insane shit.
Oh, no, I have a good quote for you. Hold on. On August 11th, 2020, McAfee falsely stated that he was arrested in Norway during COVID-19, the COVID-19 pandemic, after refusing to replace a lace thong with a more efficient mask. He later tweeted a picture of himself with a bruised eye, claiming it was during the arrest. The photo shows a German police officer as the arresting officer, which, you know, falsely claims that he was arrested in Norway. It was figured out that he later tried to enter Germany on that day, but was not arrested. So I guess he tried to come into Germany with a lace thong on his face during the middle of fucking COVID and was like, yeah, this'll work.
Let me see if I can find that tweet. That was basically a tweet from, I think it was 2018, 2017. That he's talking about the idea of whale fucking. that is,
this is the dolphins, right?
It's actual just whale fucking. Because they have a competition saying the world record, I think it was around 30 seconds is how he put it. And he said, I didn't last very long. I nearly broke my ribs, stick to ostriches. And I'm like, what the fuck? Same thing about he even fucking forwarded up, he followed up on that and says, enough of the whale fucking is non-consensual bullshit. A humpback whale weighs 70,000 pounds, is 50 feet long, can dive more than a quarter mile, and can crush ships with a single swipe of its tail. If a human manages to fuck one, you damn well better believe it's consensual. It's the most insane shit I've ever heard.
It's a hot take, but is he wrong?
No, he's not. What do you mean? He's not wrong. Oh no! This is the man. This is the man.
On November 19th, 2018, this is the Florida court again, refused to dismiss a wrongful death lawsuit against him for false death. McAfee did not appear in court, lost the case by default, and he was ordered to pay $25 million to Fall.
Oh, by the way, he also did end up having a wife after the whole fiasco with his ex. And she was a prostitute.
she was.
So if that sheds any light on anything, and she was very possessive whenever he would be in interviews. Very much, oh, no, that's all we can say. We can't do anything else. No, you can't answer that. You don't need to do any of that. You know, fucking, you know, trying to keep him away from, like, maybe him opening his fucking mouth too much or something. I don't know. But I think it's just very funny seeing all that. That was something from his fucking presidential campaign, too, saying, you know, that's something that I do that everybody else doesn't do. I wear everything on my fucking, on my sleeve, right? Like, I don't have any shame, is how he put it. Like, he's fucking talking about all the, like, doing a shitload of drugs and going to prison and marrying a prostitute and XYZ, dude. It's so crazy.
Dude, this picture has to be famous. There's no way. My second arrest in 1 week, a record, I think. What?
That is insane. Oh, my God.
Dude, hold on. Belize is a third world banana republic, and you can go down there and make any story you want if you pay your interviewees. That's what he said. Nice. This man is absolutely crazy. Oh my god. They draw his like death comparisons to Jeffrey Epstein.
God.
Wait. Oh, did he say something that said he wasn't? I'm pretty sure there's a quote that says that I will never unalive myself. And if I do found unalived, it was someone else.
Yeah, that's where I got the swag tattoo.
Wait, what?
The swag tattoo? Oh my goodness, you need to catch up on your lore.
Oh my god, I guess I'm behind.
So you got this tattoo that says "Schwacked" with the money sign for the S, because he would not Kermit the thing.
Oh yeah, because he said I got schwacked instead of fucking killing him. Oh god.
Well, we've made it that far. Yep. And then he, like, not two fucking weeks later, whatever, like. This got schwacked. I keep saying that.
This is insane, dude.
McAfee contended that taxes were illegal, fair, and claimed in 2019 that he had not filed a tax return since 2010. He referred to himself as a prime target of the IRS.
That's what they got him arrested for, was tax evasion. Here's his profile picture. It's
anime. Oh my god! Oh my god, it's fucking Dio. Or not Dio, it's JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Leave it to him to watch JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Just an absolutely absurd human being, man.
Oh, it's just fucking, it's a thing of beauty.
So, oh my god. Okay, so y'all know about the presidential campaign guy that is run, that has the shoe on his head?
Yeah, yeah.
Vermin Supreme.
My boy. Yeah.
So McAfee simultaneously suspended his 2020 presidential campaign, endorsed Vermin Supreme, and announced his campaign for Libertarian Party vice president under Vermin Supreme. What do you mean you ran for somebody that kept a water boot on his head?
It's so fucking cool. It's just,
it doesn't pay to be a libertarian, man. Like, like, I really appreciate the, like, government off my business type of ideas, but, like, damn, son.
I don't know if I'm this far as this guy.
I don't know if I really think we should all be like this gentleman.
Yeah, listen, there's a step to being a libertarian, and then there's a step to being just this fucking crazy psycho. Oh my god, he was big into cryptocurrency too.
Yeah, huge. I just posted an image about this.
Just saw that, yeah.
That was the description of the cryptocurrency with, there was a side company that says, hey, we dropped McAfee because he had some comments about whale fucking.
Imagine getting dropped because of that.
Well, McAfee sucks anyways.
Listen, he was a very interesting person, but still a piece of shit all the same time.
Oh, well, I mean, like,
Boost.
He was awarded him the honorary Doctor of Science degree in 2008. Thanks. This man has a degree.
He definitely was a smart dude, but he was also, you know, kind of a piece of shit. Oh, I forgot to mention the side quest. Before all of this with the whole McAfee Enterprises, he used to work at a railroad station because he got some pull there, right? He would take LSD every morning before he started working, and eventually he did an entire bag of DMT. Which, imagine for those of you who don't know,
on trains, you're like, let's get high.
Oh yeah, with someone who doesn't know, you take one line of DMT and you are going to be fucking zoinked for as long as you need to be. He took him back. He took a bit, didn't feel anything, and so took the entire bag. And it's reported that he freaked out, ran off, and was found behind a trash can. And that's the last time he ever worked for that fucking company.
So he was part British too, which is crazy. His mother was British.
That's the worst part about him, actually.
Yeah,
he was part of British. Oh fuck, why did you tell me that? I was on this guy's team up until now.
Yeah, he was born he was born in 1945. Damn. To an U.S. Army base ordnance ammunition company man, Don McAfee, who was stationed there, and a British mother, Joanne Williams. His father was from Roanoke, Virginia. Oh my god, of course. Oh my god, it gets even better. And McAfee himself primarily raised in Salem. So they're fantastic. Both from Roanoke and Salem, which, you know, if you know anything about lore, those are two great cities.
Okay, Roanoke, definitely they just left and joined the tribe. Like, there's no fucking mystery there. Like, they're like, how could the white man do that? And it's like, the white man was starving to death. What the fuck are you talking about? What do you
want? They had good relations with the Indians. Of course they went to Roanoke. And then, of course, the Salem Witch Trials. They're all witches. I believe it. All women are witches. Write that one down.
Dude, if they drown, they're not witches. If they float, yeah, they're witches, and we kill them.
it's a really horrible way, but it works 100% of the time.
Dude, 100% of the time it works.
If they burn at the stake, they're not witches.
Oh my god, dude. Fucking beautiful.
It is alleged that McAfee may have shot and killed his father, staging the scene to look like a suicide. Thanks.
He does that sometimes.
Yeah, really do be like that sometimes.
He's a complicated man.
He's a very odd individual, I'll be honest. That has to be one of the individuals, of all individuals. We've looked at some pretty, like, cool dudes. Like, you know, talking about War Daddy and stuff like that. And David Koresh, you know, that crazy-ass fuck. But I think it's in between him and the guy that... It's in between David or John McAfee and... the one from the Dolphinarium.
I don't remember Lewis. The fucking dude's name.
Okay.
Yeah, of being just absolutely fucking crazy.
We need to have, like, a fucking plaque put up of Here Lies Men that of things that did wild shit, but shit I will probably never do. I will watch their footsteps but not follow in them.
John C. Lilly.
That's his name. John C. Yeah, that is another guy we've got to go over.
Time for Lewis, because of the David Lewis.
Yeah, David Lewis. David Glenn Lewis. If you type in David Lewis, he pops up some kind of scientist. Which, real quick, I would like to interject on my David Lewis thing. I said that his car was back at his house. No, his car was still found at Potter County Courthouse. That means that the man dropped his car off at the courthouse and somehow got a drive back to his house. And then somehow someone drove him to the airport. Because even under the mat, the car, like the floor mat, they found his keys. And that's where inside the car is where they found his wallet, his ID, and a bunch of other stuff. His wedding ring and watch were found at home. And there was nothing missing from the house as well.
What the fuck, man?
Also, on the Monday after that he disappeared, $5,000 was deposited into David Lewis's account. They don't know where from, but he just deposited $5,000. Not withdrew. Deposited.
Interesting.
Yeah, another weird thing. Well, since we're nearing the end of the podcast, let's see. Reasons we there will be here in the next couple weeks, the reasons why we might not be able to keep up with the post as fast. Hard Hat is finding a new house. So that is
congratulations,
fun.
Hard Hat.
Let's go. Hard Hat. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Hard Hat is trying to find a bigger house for his family. Two kids and a wife inside of a tiny house just ain't working no more. So, you know, that is something we're working on right now. It's actually something I was doing right before the podcast. Fucking.
And we'll be doing right after.
True. Yeah, and we'll be doing right after. So, you know, we're going to try to keep the post up as best as we can. But just know, if we miss a weekend, it's because Hard Hat decided to sell his house.
If anybody's looking for a house, you know, honestly, go to Zillow.com or just DM Hard Hat.
Yeah, just DM Hard Hat. I will sell you the house right now. I'll make you a deal if you buy it right now, and I don't have to work on this piece of shit anymore.
$3.
Fuck it.
Deal. I'll give you $5.
Fuck it, we ball.
Oh, wait.
We have a bidding war. Oh, no. All right. Does anybody else have anything interesting going on in their lives?
No. John McAfee shit was pretty wild, but I'm
I don't fucking doubt it. Like it gets
in. Oh my god. I'm really tired, and I don't get enough sleep these days.
Yo, Phil.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Shout out to everybody who's tired. If you're tired, comment below.
You're a EP boy, dude.
If you're a big EP.
Oh, wow.
Oh, and shout out, Matthew, did you hit 90K yet?
Something like that, probably. I don't know. I haven't looked.
What do you mean? You were at 89.9. You can't tell me whether you hit 90K yet?
No, I'm not yet. I'm close, though. Oh, my
God. I got like okay, so 50 if you're subscribed to the Barking Boys, but you're not yet subscribed to Vez22 on YouTube, go fucking do it. Get that man up to 90,000 subscribers. That man deserves it.
Oh, God. And then I can delete my channel at 100, dude. That's all it is.
Is that the plan?
No.
I'm gonna make a joke, and I want you to know it's a joke, but I gotta say it because it's in the bones, okay? After you delete your channel, are you gonna get a real fucking job? Sorry.
God's ass.
I'll become doing fucking full fucking sends to the straight up.
Yo, Matthew, why did you just sign up for fucking, I don't know, any of those job websites? Fuck.
Yeah, but hold on,
real quick before we leave,
we got some shoutouts. You gonna give some shoutouts?
Yeah, I'm working on the shoutouts as soon as I find the comments. Where's the fucking comments at? They changed this up.
You hit the studio and then you hit the comments.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there is no. Hold on. Did I not hit?
Wait, dude, we got a returning top dog, Haley Clark 2711. Always with the fucking big ups. Thank you, Haley.
Oh, here we go.
I'm gonna write a reply now. That'll make no sense, but
good as you should. Also, shout out to Dreadful Raven, who has decided that he is just gonna watch every single one of our videos. Who also not know that the spaghetti monster came from his birth date. The more you know,
It is in fact incredible. It's
fucking spaghetti. Also, shout out to DJ Uno Who 267. Who said he's also in IT, and dude, you're right. It's like mechanics, but logical and not physical, which is completely true.
Hell yeah, DJ Uno, who I'm glad that this guy, he left, he's getting caught up. You know, he's there at the beginning, and now he's on episode 7. You know, he's working his way back up. When eventually he gets here, whenever he does, what you should do is go put fucking silicon sealant in your switch ports. Because physical security is the best kind of security. And I'll stop the hackers. Thank you very much.
This man got him. Yeah, shout out to Haley Clark, Wing Horse. Wing Horse was actually asking us because we missed a weekend because personal things.
We're fucking dying out here, dogs.
Yeah, literally.
We're the dying dogs. This is not good, fellas.
One weekend, my family got sick. The next weekend, fucking Steven's family got sick.
Probably the same sickness shared between families. Yeah.
True. Yeah, we really got to quit making out, Steve.
I know. It's really just not good for
public health. It's just hard. It's just fucking rough living nowadays, dude.
I know. Anyways, that's all I have to say.
Same.
I think we're done.
There you go, Wings. There's the new podcast right now.
Yeah, I hope everyone enjoyed the mysterious disappearance of David Glenn Lewis, a man that disappeared from a small Emerald town. And also the libertarian legend John McAfee and his drug-fueled massacre.
The man who died too soon but will never be forgotten.
And, yeah.
He died. He did not die too soon. I think if anything, he was a little late to that. Fast enough. I don't know how you take that many drugs and live that long, but honestly, I guess good on him. Like, you don't have to like someone to respect them. That's one of these for sure.
Also, as information that I got for my video, I would like to shout out to Nexpo and Kadabber for both giving me information on the David Glenn Lewis. It's not very predominant. It's not talked about a whole lot, but hopefully the more we shine light on the case, nothing will be shown. So,
hell yeah. Shout out to Jay Aubrey for showing me all the fucking cliff notes for John McAfee and his psycho ass.
Shout out to me for contributing nothing this week, but I got a banger locked and loaded for next time.
Yeah, don't worry. Hey. Next week, we got another episode coming out.
I got one of those break your brain types. I like those.
I like those. Fantastic. Fuck my brain up, daddy.
All right, gentlemen. I'm going to head off. It was a pleasure talking to you as always, and don't go missing.
Good night, everybody. Y'all have a good night.
True. Good luck. Have fun. Talk to y'all later. Bye.